I pray for two things. I pray, number one, that God will move by His Spirit in such a way because of the threat to the gospel. And that threat, as I perceive it, is that the gospel is particularly in America. Around the world, there's great persecution, but here in America, the threat to the gospel is not the imprisoning of preachers and the closing down of churches yet. It could happen in America. It hasn't happened yet. The threat to the gospel in America, with churches on every corner and preachers in pulpits that are more highly qualified theologically than any group of preachers that has ever walked behind pulpits, as far as biblical knowledge, Bible study, all of those things, the schools, higher learning, where you get degrees in theology and degrees in divinity. But the danger is that the Christian gospel becomes so powerless, and people's lives do not reflect. In other words, the Bible said in the last days, and you can turn that on, thank you. In the last days, perilous times would come. And down at the bottom of it, it says that people would have a form of godliness. Yes, sir. Simultaneously denying the power thereof. Amen. And the power of godliness has to be more than just the spiritual gifts that flow. It has to be the power of God working within men and women, boys and girls, to change them from the inside out. The power, denying the power of godliness is not denying the gifts of the Spirit, although many do. It's not the charismata, it's the character. The change in the human heart that is being denied. So you've got people that think there's no more to salvation, going to church, saying, do you believe, someone quizzing you and saying, do you believe that Jesus died for you and rose, and do you confess with your mouth, okay, you're saved. Be baptized next week, start giving to the church, and you got it made. There's more to salvation than that. If the change doesn't occur, salvation has not occurred. It's not a salvation of works, lest any man would boast. But once we are saved, a change has to occur within. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It is not the work of man or religion, but the Holy Spirit. There are people who don't want to grow in the Lord and in the knowledge of God, and they don't want any more changes or adjustments made in their life. They want to adjust your life. They'd love to adjust my life, but they're not really open to God adjusting their life. And if God gets loose in you or in me, He's going to make some changes. Because I hate to burst anyone's bubble in here, whether you have visions, dreams, experiences with God, you still have room to grow. And that's why the Apostle Paul, that had, if anyone had credentials, he did. Amen. But he said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, I personally press, strain forward is the Greek word, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. You know what his mark was? Amen. Nothing less than what he talked about in his letter to the Ephesians, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, until I am just like him, not like them or them. But him. Amen? If I compare myself to some other Christians, I'm doing pretty good. In fact, some other Christians, I'm doing real good. But if I compare myself to Jesus, I got room to grow. And I want to grow. And God wants me to grow. And the fivefold ministry has been set in the church, not just so we'll have a wonderful time in the service because of the gifts, but so that God can work within our character. And Paul said that he wanted Christ to be formed in us, because that's God's will and purpose. You ever heard this scripture? Romans 8:28. I'm sure you've heard it. It's a knot at the end of the rope. We love that scripture because it addresses things in our life that we don't understand, but we hold on to God in spite of it. For we do know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And see, you've got to be in cooperation with His purpose. Hello? And are called according to His purpose. He said, I can subdue everything to accomplish my purpose, my supreme purpose in your life. And it's a purpose for everybody. The primary, supreme purpose for everybody is in the next verse. Everybody in this room. Now, your purpose may be to become, some people purpose when they come to church to be seen and heard. And they'll do it at the expense of right in the middle of worship. Right in the middle of worship, they will want to show out. And if you think it's God, you need discernment. Because God isn't going to take the focus off of Christ for you to show out. Or me to show out. That's why sometimes I turn my back up here and just try to say, Lord, everybody's worshiping you. I don't want them looking at me right now. In fact, I would like to worship you too. Conversation I had not long ago was I want to worship too. There's times when everybody needs to focus on Jesus and not this or that or the other, but Jesus. He's here. He wants the praise. He wants the focus. He wants the worship. But some people want to be seen and heard. And some people, through gifts of the Spirit, want to establish their spiritual status. Because they don't have any feeling good. They don't feel good about themselves unless somebody sees them and acknowledges they're very spiritual. That's one of the most unspiritual attitudes you could possibly have. Amen? I love what a great, never greater born of woman, according to Jesus. Amen. He said, John the Baptist, you know what he said? I must decrease. Focus is going to be taken off of me so that he might increase. Hallelujah. I'm not out here to just get a following to follow me. I'm here to point people to Christ. So I must decrease so that he might increase. Let me tell you something to everybody in here, me included. We have to decrease for him to increase. Because if everybody's looking at you, and only you, and they're not seeing him in you and me. And how do you know when they see him? When we're so powerful? No. When we are so humble, we are so submitted, we are so committed. In fact, the Bible said to defer to the brethren. In other words, if you think you've got to show out and somebody else thinks they got to show out, everybody said, all of you don't show out. Amen? You know what was going on in Pentecost? Legitimate gifts of the Spirit, people were showing out with them. One would prophesy and the other thought that somebody was going to get their opportunity to get the spotlight. They'd jump up at the same time, both of them, and nobody would defer. Nobody would say, oh, well, let them have it. It's okay. We want God to be glorified. It's not about me. It's about him. Amen? If it's not about him, then it's phony baloney. We don't need no phony baloney in church. We need something real and authentic. Amen? So Paul come down and he said, all these gifts are legitimate. The gifts are real. God is real. But all these people are abusing and misusing the gifts of the Spirit. So he said, let one prophesy. If there's no interpreter, guess what? If you know there's nobody in that service that interpret, don't bring a message in tongues. Spirit is subject to the prophet. And you have to use wisdom. And I have to use wisdom. And a lot of people like to be in a church where nobody has enough wisdom to direct that service and say, wait a minute, hold on a minute, wait a minute, tone that down. It can't be God at this point in time. If it was God, everybody wouldn't be looking at you. If it was God, everybody wouldn't be looking at me. If it was God, and if it was truly the Holy Spirit, he would be pointing to Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they be they that what? Teach you about the Antichrist and the millennial reign. No, they be they that testify of me. When the Holy Ghost comes, what's he going to do? When he comes, he will testify of me. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. How in the world are you going to look to Jesus as the author and finisher of your faith when somebody is hollering, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. There's a time in the service that we just need to cut loose. And I want the privilege to do that when the time is there. But when someone needs an answer from God, and the worship is ascending to heaven, and God is healing my foot that was either bruised or battered or something wrong in it. When I came to church, I told my wife, you know, we guys want sympathy. If I ever hit my thumb with a hammer and just about tear the nail off, I'm looking for sympathy immediately. You know what I want to do? I want to go to my wife and say, honey, look what I did. And show them that old thumbnail just hanging there and the blood running down. So she said, oh, darling, oh, sweetheart, here, let me get a band-aid. Am I telling you the truth? The truth will make us free, right? Hallelujah. Amen. I want some sympathy. Amen. I heard it bad. I don't even wipe the blood off till my wife gets a good look at that bad boy. Then I'll go get the blood off. I want her to get a band-aid and give me some love. Amen. You've never done that when you were a child. You did. Mama, look what I just did. And you did it too, didn't you? You were always getting, I knew you would. She just looked like a child like that. Amen. Always falling down, getting boo-boos and running to mama. Amen. Mama, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Amen. We all want sympathy. What we need is victory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somehow or another, when I find myself wanting to give myself a pity party, when I want to feel sorry for me, you know whose my focus is on? It's on me. It's on me. It's off of him. It's on me. And sympathy is not what I need. I need compassion and someone to intercede for me. But not to just say, you know, just feed that. You don't need to feed that thing, because that thing is insatiable. All it wants is to justify unbelief and doubt and defeat and depression. And if you're not careful, you'll just help that person get deeper into that hole instead of throw them a rope. Now, I throw a lot of ropes out. Few people grab on and God pulls them out. I can't pull nobody out of nowhere. I'm going to tell you straight up. The rope I throw you is Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The one I tell you to look to is God. If you got a Bible, believe it. If you got a Bible, stand. I don't mean step up on it. That's not proper. Can you say amen? But stand on the word. Bible said, quit ye like men. And that word quit is an old English word for how you going to act. Everybody say, look at somebody, say, how you going to act? 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 Quit ye like men. Act like men. And be what? Strong. How in the world can we do that in these old, weak, frail, fleshly bodies of ours? Amen. The Bible said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Can you say amen? It's time to grow up, trust God, and begin to walk like and talk like, amen, soldiers that have spiritual armor, that's not afraid, amen, to face the devil and to face our own weaknesses. Our own weaknesses. Pentecostal churches, I said it a couple of weeks ago, it's trying to pastor Pentecostals, and I've done it for these years, and I'm a Pentecostal man. I'd be looking for a Pentecostal church. Mike went to a church, huge church, great legacy of spirit-filled living, and he was disappointed because there was no evidence of God's spirit. And that's sad. Because the church holds 1,500, 2,000 people, and those people come to worship God, and they're not being exposed to the power and presence of God, and they're defeated, but they wouldn't walk through that door because it's not. Remember the guy that went down, Assyrian? He's got leprosy. He's got a servant that's a little Jewish girl, and she says, and she's being, she says, if you, there's a prophet in Israel that knows the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You go down there and that God can heal you. Ain't nothing he can't do. Our God. Who has a God? That's what she's saying. Ain't no God like our God. Rest of them can't do nothing, but this God, there ain't nothing he can't do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. They have eyes and see not, ears and hear not, hands, but they can't help you with them. But our God is different. You can't see Him, but He got hands. You can't see Him, but He's got eyes that can see you. You can't see Him, but He can hear your cry. Can you say amen? And he goes down to the prophet's house, and he thinks, like people are trying to make the gospel today, that you can buy these favors and blessings from God. So he takes changes of the best raiment. He takes gold and silver, and he goes down to the prophet's house. He knocks on the door. He's got it made up in his mind. I'm going to knock on the door. I'm going to show him all this stuff. Doesn't that sound like what's going on today? Amen. We're feeding that wrong attitude by saying, if you want some help from God, you write me a check. Let me build my mansion bigger, get more gold and silver in my pocket, and then God may help you. That's the wisdom of this world. And yet, people flock to it. And you know why they're going to church? Because they want what he's got. They're envying that guy instead of looking to Jesus. They want his car. They want his money. They want his fortune. They want his fame. It's all about me. It's all about self. So this Assyrian captain goes down to the prophet's house. He knocks on the door. And the servant comes to the door. Gehazi said, what do you want? He said, I want to see your master. Well, the prophet already knew. God dropped in his heart what the man needed. He went in and told his master, there's an Assyrian captain here to see you with leprosy. He said, go back and tell him. Go back and tell him to go to the River Jordan. Go down in that old dirty water. And dip up and down 7 times. Not 5, not 6. Come on, 7. God's perfect number, number of completeness. Yeah, we into that thing, ain't we? Glory to God. Hallelujah. 7 times. So he comes to the door. He's got all this raiment and stuff to give him. He's not even over in that direction. He says, go dip in Jordan 7 times. And he thinks about dipping in Jordan. And he thinks about these beautiful, crystal clear rivers back where he came from. You know, somebody might think he's just going out there for his health and he's just doing a little bathing, but not in no muddy river at that time. I believe it was muddy and cruddy. I believe God stirred that bad boy up until it was old brown river. Even the catfish were gagging on the water. Can you say amen? It was bad, and it probably a little bit stinky, amen, because God will get that pride. He resists the proud, and he can't heal that man, and he can't help that man, and your man can't buy it, amen, and the prophet ain't got it for sale. Can you say amen? So he's going to have to get rid of that pride and humble himself down, amen. Some people go to church, and they won't come under pastoral authority. It bugs them when they are corrected in any way, even though they haven't been called out publicly and corrected. They can't stand just being corrected, amen, by the fact that someone is taking charge of the service. I want you to know there is someone in charge of this service today, amen. And I told some of you last week, and I'm going to say it again today, don't follow me because I am a leader. Follow me because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 And if I don't follow him, you don't follow me. But if I follow him, let's get in this thing together. Praise God. I feel this in my heart, Brother Taylor. Not just because so many empty seats are here, but there's a day coming when you can't build the church big enough, and the choir can't sing beautiful enough, and their robes are not pretty enough, and the pastor is not educated enough, amen, that we're going to come to a time in our families, in our nation, in our homes, and in our lives that we need God to move. Can you say amen? Because what we're into right now that is satisfying so many is a form of godliness that denies the power of godliness. Can you say amen? We got people going to church, there's no change. We got people going to church, and there's no help for them in God. They're happy. They're not happy with their circumstance, but they're happy to go to church with no challenge, no change, no evidence that prayer is being answered. So even when we say we're going to pray for you, it doesn't help them. It doesn't relieve their anxiety. It doesn't reduce their stress because they don't believe that God answers for them. He might do it for Brother Venable because he's special. No, I'm not. Let me tell you something about God, something you need to know about his character. God is no respecter of persons. And he tells us not to do it either. Someone comes in here in a three-piece suit, drives up in an Escalade wearing a Rolex with his checkbook out. Amen? Ready to write a check to this ministry? Yeah, Brother Taylor, that would be funny, wouldn't it? That would even take me back and say, what is he doing here? Surely he ain't going to park that Escalade out there where we park. You say, amen. He's looking for a more prestigious church. You'd be amazed how people want their church to match their image that they're projecting. Amen. It's not about God or his power or truth. People meet me that have known where I came from and known the ministry over 40 years, four decades. And when I went to the funeral, a bunch of people met me outside. Brother Venable, he's a man of God. Nobody doubts that. They just don't support it. He preaches the truth. But I wouldn't dare go to his church. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. You can give me all those allocates you want, but I look around and say, well, where are you then? If I'm a man of God bringing the truth, where are you? What are you doing? And where have you been for 40 years? I love you, Brother Venable. I got a letter the other day, and I had to check, put myself in check. I can become sarcastic real quick. I'm reading a letter telling me how much I'm loved, and I'm about to become sarcastic. My wife said, don't you read that and get sarcastic now. That's not very godly. It's not very... And I thought, no, I need the blessing too much to be sarcastic. I need lifting up too sometimes. I'm going to receive that. I believe that person really does love me. A little. Amen. But not that much. Not that much. He's a man of God. But let him hang out there. They must not love the truth. You think that might be it? They don't love the truth? Then how in the world are they ever going to be set free? Until we begin. Listen, I'm glad you said that. So I don't take it so personal. The Bible said in Isaiah's day and Jeremiah's day, truth has fallen in the street. And nobody lays it to heart. Give me my little Sunday morning fix and promise me that God's going to take care of everything. And I'll go home. I won't go home happy, because you can't be happy without God's help. Happy is the man that has the Lord God of Jacob for his help. If God can't help you and God isn't helping you, then you can't be happy, because nothing in this world can make you happy but God. And without God's help, you're as helpless as the world is. And the Bible said they're without God and without hope in this present world. You know why they're without hope? Because they're helpless. Because without the shield of faith, Blue Cross and Blue Shield can't take care of everything. I don't need the shield of faith. I got a superior insurance policy.
I got Aflac.
Amen. Even if I'm laid off, they're going to pay my salary. So come on. Well, whom have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the insurance company's arms. Come on. There's a day when doctors walk out. They're mortal. They are human. They're highly educated, and the knowledge they have comes direct from God to help people. But there are things they cannot do. But there's nothing impossible with God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I said there's nothing impossible with God. Why go to a church where prayer is meaningless and fruitless? Why go to a church where truth is not declared? Why go where there's no evidence in anybody's life of the power and presence of God? Why go just to get your head filled with knowledge and not your heart filled with faith? Where's the revival? Where's the presence? Where's the power? Where's the fire? I'm not talking about emotionalism. If we can be satisfied just to sit and receive knowledge, it's not just knowing the Bible and knowing what that means and this means. They that do what? Know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's why the Acts of the Apostles, that's why that book is there. Because the miracles didn't stop when he ascended. The Jesus ministry didn't come screeching to a halt. It continued through them. And of course there are those that say, well, it was only that 12 and now we got the Bible. I don't get it. We got a Bible that tells us about a God that moves and answers prayer and does wonders. And we don't need him anymore because we got the book that tells us about him. To me, as Shrek said, or somebody, remember the donkey in Shrek? One of the Shreks, the cat became the donkey and the donkey became the cat. And the donkey looked back at the cat and said, you look redonkulous. That's redonkulous. That's donkey dumb. Amen. You say, Brother Wimble, you shouldn't be disrespectful. You should hear what they call me. For believing God. So there's a false love. There's a form of godliness. There's people who want to be smarter in their head knowledge of Scripture, but they don't want to get close to God. They're not seeking God. They're seeking knowledge without seeking God. And they don't know God in any kind of intimate, personal, spiritual walk. And you need to know him in an intimate, personal, spiritual walk. Because all the knowledge of Scripture in the world is not like knowing him. Remember that song we sing, Knowing You, Jesus. Knowing you is all I. You know the rest? I forgot the other line. We need to sing it again. Reacquaint it. It's an appropriate song. Listen to me carefully. There's power here. There's power to be received to change us from the inside out, and there's power to help us in the time of need so that we're not like others. Not just about the resurrection from the dead, but we're not like others in anything who have no hope. Can you say, man? God is so good today. Who has a God like him? That's why we keep reading from Micah, because all of this power was made available to us. All of these promises were made available to us because of God's capacity to forgive and pardon sin. Because of his character of mercy and grace. There's a false love today. Because it's not in... See, folks, I went through something that was so bad. I called our organization, San Diego, California. And I said, I'm going through something really bad. I need your prayer. I want everybody to pray for me that would pray for me when I went through nervous exhaustion. Wasn't supposed to happen to me. And I watch it now. If you want to always be down and out, and you always want to be contradictory, and if you want to argue the gospel, and if you want to find fault, and if you want to pick at me, I'm not going to hang out with you. When I see you coming in the grocery aisle, and that's what you want to do, and that's your spirit and attitude, if I see you coming that way, even if I need something down that aisle, I'll go down the other aisle and come around and get it. And try not to come in contact with you. Brother Venable, what are you saying? I'm saying, amen, that birds of a feather, they flock together. And I ain't got that kind of feather. Can you say amen? Amen. My feathers are not like that. Glory to God. I didn't come here to debate the gospel. I came to declare it. A guy called me and quizzed me from the top to the bottom and inside out. And you know something? I was so glad because he nailed me with everything he could looking for a church home. And my first question was, and some don't take this personal, but this is me and him. My first question was, why did you leave the one you were in? That's always my first question. And some people have a legitimate answer. There's some of you can tell me exactly why you left the one you're in. You ought to have got out of it. And I'll applaud it. But some people are too picky. Some people ain't never going to get married. They'll never find a wife or a husband. You know why? They're too picky. And you ought to be somewhat picky. Make sure it's a Christian. Make sure they love you. And make sure they don't have a past that indicates that something is bad, wrong. Can you say, man? But some people are looking for perfection. Problem is, they're not perfect. But they're demanding perfection. That's why I don't have a sign out front, the end of your search for the perfect church. If I ever put a sign out there about us, it will be patient with us. God is not finished with us yet. And if you can't be patient with us, ain't no point in coming in because you're going to find fault with us. Because God's not done with us. But He is working on us. And we are under construction. I need one of those big construction signs that they put up beside the road when they tear that bad boy up. And say, under construction. Hallelujah. Praise God. He is working on me. I don't know what He's doing on you, but I believe God's at work in every heart that is open to Him, because I believe His truth is going to transform. I believe His truth is going to challenge, and His truth received is going to change. And if you don't want the change, not everybody, there's some people got legitimate reasons to be here, but if I say there's the door too many more times, we won't have nobody to preach to. But if we can't have a revival, I don't want a church of 1,000 dead people. I don't want a church with 1,000 people and they're being tore up. They're being beat down. They're being beleaguered. They're being beat and battered by the devil while someone is preaching something from the Bible that there's no reality, no authenticity, and they're satisfied with that. Satisfied with that. Satisfied with that. I will never be satisfied. Someone told me, I don't see how he can pastor. He has an evangelistic message. It's because pastors need some fire back. Pastors need to challenge again. Pastors need to get victory again. Pastors need to get healed again. Pastors need to get delivered again. Pastors need to get set free again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And pastors need to quit explaining away why God doesn't and start declaring why not. Why not God today? So, I've come a long road. And the Bible said, this idea of loving by word, I love you. If I see you broke down side the road, I'm sorry, I'm late. I'm late for a very important date. Don't expect me to stop and ask you what's wrong, because I may have to take the time to help you. And on top of that, you may be indisposed financially. You may need some gas in your car and someone to take you to get it. Bless Him, Jesus. Make a way. Lord, I know You're a way maker. Hallelujah. Make a way for him. Because he sure ain't me. And you say, the Bible said, don't love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. God doesn't accept mouthed words on Sunday. It's what we do. It's how we act. It's what we're going to do to show Him that we love Him. You can tell Him you love Him all day long. He's not listening until you show Him something. Peter, do you love me? Listen to the word. Yay, Lord! Wasn't that simple? Enthusiastic? Yes, Lord! He said, then feed my lambs. Do what I've called you to do. Obey me. Peter, do you love me? See, the mouth will never satisfy God. And if God ain't satisfied with it, I ain't going to take it. Hello? Brother Bamba, I love you. Okay. That's good. Where will you be next week? Where are you going to be when the door opens? Are you going to give and support? I love you, Brother Venable. I love you so much. It's hard. I don't want to be sarcastic. But I don't want to just be... God don't buy it. Why should I? God don't accept it. Why should I? Why should I? Why should I? So I have to be careful, Brother Taylor, because where I am after 40 years, I'm no quitter. If I walked away from pastoring tomorrow, it wouldn't be because I'm a quitter. And I would preach anywhere that people want to hear the truth. But I frankly don't want to preach in that big old church that don't care about the truth, just to say I preached there. Because I have been in some of those churches. And frankly, I do not want to go back. You know why? Because it didn't make no difference in the long run. I want to preach to somebody that's going to make a difference. Can you say, man, hallelujah, that their life is going to be touched because of the ministry, because of Jesus, because of the real, genuine power of godliness. Hallelujah. That you can live for Him. You can have victory if you seek Him. Praise God. Listen to me very carefully. This is really important to me today. Don't love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. One of the most sentimental songs learned in Sunday school, and we sung it all the way up into adulthood, is, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. I'll never forsake Him. I'll never forsake Him. I'll never..." See, this was Timothy's condition. When Paul wrote Timothy, that's why I read Timothy sometimes, because Paul can speak to me just like he's speaking to Timothy and the Holy Spirit through Paul. You know what Paul wrote to Timothy? He said, "Timothy, I know there's faith in you." Why did he have to remind him of faith? Because Timothy was preaching the truth. He was Paul's protege. Paul was his spiritual mentor. Amen. He was called and anointed of God because the gift that was in him was placed in him through the process of the laying on of hands. Every ministerial gift that he had, the presbytery had laid hands on him. Paul had laid hands on him. And ministerial gifts were imparted to him. And he was highly appointed to the office that he had. And he was highly anointed for the office that he had. Everybody say, appointed and anointed. And guess what? The people he was ministering to, the next little fad, the next little thing, what did they do? They took off. They took off. They took off. And he said, "What's the point of preaching?" By the way, every appointed, anointed man of God has got in the place where they said, "What's the point? What's the use?" They don't care. They'll run after this. They'll run after that. Truth has fallen in the street. And nobody cares. Nobody lays it to heart. In the last days, there's a danger of hearing what we want to hear instead of what God has to say. In fact, it'll be a highly religious time. The Bible said they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear, I'll come to hear it. But don't tell me something I don't want to hear, because I will not support that. Even though I know it's true, I won't support it. We're in that time. Every time I read the scripture, truth has fallen into the street. No one lays it to heart. I think of what happened. It was either Chicago or New York City. I believe it was New York City. Big apartment house with a parking lot down below. All the windows of these multi-level apartments looking out into that parking lot. A young woman is accosted by a man with a knife. She begins to scream for help. Help! Help me! Help me! He's trying to kill me! He catches her. He knocks her to the ground. He gets on top of her and begins to cut her with a knife. And she's screaming to the top of her lungs. And people peep out the window. Oh, my Lord. He killing her. They don't have to go out and risk their life. They don't have to go out and get involved. They just have to have enough concern about another human being being killed and screaming for help to pick up the telephone and call 911 and let the police come and let the ambulance come and get some help. Lay it to heart. Is the heart become so calloused and so hardened that this woman is crying out in the street and no one is laying it to heart? When the police finally come, she's bled out. She's dead. There was no one to help. And they begin to say, was there any calls come in from this big complex full of people? Did anybody call 911 from this place? No. A cruiser on patrol saw the form of a body laying in a parking lot, went to investigate and found a woman that had been cut all to pieces and bled out. And it was on the news several years ago of how callous the heart has become, cold and indifferent. And that's exactly what the prophet was talking about. It happened to God's truth. The prophet brought it. The people ran from it and didn't care. Truth has fallen in the streets. Nobody gives a holy hoot because they're too busy doing their own thing. They lost their blessing. They lost their blessings. According to Malachi, they lost all the blessings of God. They actually became vulnerable to their enemies. They begin to lose their battles and lose their wars. God did not intercede nor intervene for them. You know what God did to help them? He rose up early and sent His prophets unto them. Can you say amen? I said He got up early and sent His prophets unto them. Glory be to God. Honey, we need some people today that God has sent to bring us a message from His heart. Because if we will heed the message, He will restore the hedge around us. He will restore the help to us. He will restore the healing. He will restore the deliverance. We'll see the power of godliness again. The 21st century. If I was retired from preaching and looking for a church home, I would be picky. But not like the guy that was picking me apart was picky. Because wherever he goes, ain't nobody going to meet his standard. I've met those fellas before. One guy called me one time and we got into the conversation. He told me of three fine churches that I knew the pastors personally. And you know something, if you know pastors personally, you know they're not perfect. But you know they are called and anointed of God, and they're living a clean life, and there's no skeleton in the closet. And you say, these are good men of God here. It's a good church there. It's not a perfect church. It's a good church. And he said, I went to that church and told me what he found wrong with that one. I thought, that's a good church, a good man right there. He said, I went to that church and I found something wrong with that one. There's a good man, a good church right there too, he left. And he said, and I went to that church and there was a good man, good church. Told me what he found fault with that one. And he said, and I'm considering coming to your church Sunday. Considering it. And I wasn't being sarcastic. I just was being honest. Because I knew if he can't take care of it, these are good men. These are good churches. And if they can't satisfy you, sure ain't going to be happy here. We're under construction down in here. God working on us. We haven't arrived yet, but we're on our way. But if you're looking for absolute perfection, we can't show it to you. We preach a perfect gospel, a perfect Christ. So I told him, I said, sir, I'm going to be honest with you. We're not going to be able to meet your standard. He said, what do you mean? I said, your standard is perfection, and you're not. Oh, I know that. Well, I'm not perfect either. He said, oh, I know that. I said, wait a minute. You know that you're not perfect and I'm not perfect, but you're looking for perfection. He said, you know what the Bible said? It said, let us go on toward perfection. Let us be progressing in that direction. And I didn't have to say anymore. He knew right then. If the man ain't perfect, I ain't going. And I knew right then, he was just going to sit back, and instead of let God work in him and humble him and do something in him, he's going to sit back and picket everything. You know people, I know people that picket everything. They're picking at every word I say, and I say about 10,000 words a week. About 1,500 of them may not come out just right. But God is still saving. And God is still healing. And God is still helping those that will receive it. Can you say amen? And the people that want to debate the gospel are so busy trying to debate it, they fail to declare it. And no one, with all of their knowledge and perfection and how it ought to be, no one comes to Jesus Christ because of their correctness and perfectness. Is that correct? You know nobody's coming to Jesus through people that pick at everybody. Not defend truth. Just pick at everybody. Their families are messed up. Their finances are messed up. But they got an answer for you. They got an answer for me too. And the thing about it is they just love us so much. And that's what had happened in the old covenant and threatens the new covenant believer. They fell out of love with God. They practiced their religion to the T. Man falls among thieves. They beat him and left him for dead. The Pharisee, highly religious, comes by. Oh, man. Look what's going on. Oh, the sin. The sin, the sin, the sin. But I'm not going to help that man because I don't know what kind of man he is, and to touch him would be an unclean thing for me. The Sadducee comes along, highly religiously respected religious sect. He sees the same thing and walks away. Jesus says, you know something? That's what religion without relationship produces. Holier than thou, self-righteous people that won't even, can't represent God at all. With the big old steeple. And I love this cross.
Amen. I saw a rapper the other way with one about that big, solid gold. Amen. But his cross and your cross means two different things to two different people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And Jesus said, if you want to be a neighbor to that man, you can't be like this religion, the Christian. Listen, they read the law. These people broadened their phylacteries to whole scriptures. But when it came down to doing something that was godlike, everybody say godliness. Hallelujah. For the grace of God that's appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, we should live righteously and godly in this present world. And you're never more like God than when you forgive. And you're never more like God than when you love unconditionally. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to be more like Him. I don't want to be jaded. It's just there comes a point in your life, you just want people to be honest. You want some honesty. Don't people come for a while and then turn their back like it's nothing. You want Christians to amen truth. They carry Bibles. We shouldn't be afraid of something out of the book from our Lord. It's to help us. It's never to hurt us. Can you say amen? So I made up my mind. I said, Lord, I broke under the load of all of this phony baloney stuff. I want to be a Pentecostal, but I want to be a Pentecostal that is well-balanced and versed in the Word of God. I don't want the focus to be on somebody instead of Jesus when God's Spirit is moving and people need true help from God. Can you say amen? I said it last week. I said it in love, but I said it with great authority. You can't come through that door with the poor old me's and suddenly become a minister to others. I require that you have victory. Can you say amen? I require that you get in the Word with us before you try to minister to somebody else. It's going to take people out of here, but if I'm not going to build it like a lot of Pentecostal churches have been. If it don't build on truth, I don't want to pastor it. But if we can build it on truth, I'll hang in here like a rusty fishhook. Can you say amen? Because I know there's something can occur. God can do something with people that will receive the truth of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And will begin to act like men and women of faith and become strong in the Lord and mature. I went to a Pentecostal church because I knew God had called me to preach, and I was looking for anywhere that would let me in the door. I said, Lord, wherever they want me, I'm ready to preach. Glory to God. I felt highly qualified because I know I was anointed and I know I was appointed. I didn't know hardly anything, but I thought, you know, Job was Job and Malachi was Malachi. But anyway, hallelujah. Thought the epistles were the wives of the apostles, but I knew a few of the scriptures. Amen. So I decided I'm going to go try out for pastor that year. I felt I was ready. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. I thought I was ready. I was not ready. I wasn't ready. Canelo Alvarez was not ready. They pushed him up too quick to get the big purse. He wasn't ready for Floyd Mayweather. No, he wasn't. Floyd made him look like a chump in there. He did. That's what the sports game. He didn't win one round. Never lost a fight. Knocking people out till he got in with Money Mayweather. Mayweather turned that old shoulder, turned sideways. He'd swing and miss, and Mayweather pop him and get a point. He'd swing and miss, Mayweather pop him and get a point. By the third round, Mayweather's grinning. Because, you know, I'm putting rounds in the bank, and he can't hit me hard enough to hurt me. Because old veteran's in the ring. So I thought I was ready to pastor. And I didn't know what, you know, it was all about. I found out if you're going to have an anointing when you preach, you have to preach what God gives you, not what you think is appropriate. I learned that. So I went in. Pastor invited me. He was giving up the church, and he was trying to find him a pastor. Didn't want to leave him hanging. And he was sitting there. Boy, he looked haggard. He looked in pretty bad shape. I should have took a cue from that. I should have took a cue. I thought, boy, if they about killed him, I don't need to be jumping in here. Amen. Because he's a real nice guy. Anyway, so I came in and I had my Bible, and God, I'd been racking my brain all day for the message. But you know, when you have to depend on the anointing, you want God to, you know, show you something here. Show me. Now, don't do like this. You know, just open your... I mean, God does this sometimes. I've heard of people opening their Bible, God's speaking to them right where they opened it. But you can begin to just, you know, not grow up in God and just depend on that. One guy did that one day. He opened his Bible in the New Testament. And he went... He fell upon the Scripture, and Judas went out and hung himself. I don't think that's for me. So he opened it up again. Put his finger down. It was after Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. He said, and go and do thou likewise. He closed up his Bible and said, I guess I better pray. I guess it's time to pray and not just, you know. Yeah, leave the rest. And believe the rest of the Bible before I start, you know, doing. And God can do that. But I was looking for the message. And I hadn't got it yet. And they've sung the third song. And I'm getting ready to preach. And they're looking for a pastor. And I want to shine for Jesus. I want them to know, man, if I come, I'm going to preach the word of God. Hallelujah. I can't wait. Oh, glory. I'm going to be a pastor. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to have time to pray. Everybody's going to love me. Oh, we're going to have a time. It's going to be wonderful, Brother Taylor. I'm going to be a pastor. And it might be this church. This is my first tryout. Hey, man, they're going to hear me preach tonight. I want to preach God's truth. And I went back in the back room, and I opened the Bible. I went back. I said, can I go get a drink? Where's the water fountain? It's in the back, in the Sunday school department. I said, all right, thank you. And I went back there, found an empty Sunday school room. I could hear them singing. I knew there was four verses to that song. Amen. They were on the second verse, and I had to get something from God in a hurry. I got down on my knees. I looked. I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm sweating now because they're going to introduce me, and I don't even have the message yet. And I said, Lord, give me the message. Give me the message. Give me the message. Give me the message. And my eyes fell right on the open part of the Bible, and it said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And I thought, that can't be the message to endear myself and ingratiate myself to this people. That can't be the message, can it? Give me something else. Give me something good. I want to preach on your deliverance, your greatness, your grace, your love, your power. I don't want to start out, you know, hitting a hornet's nest with a stick. Amen. Amen. If you got a church full of hypocrites, the last thing you want to do is preach on hypocrisy. They ain't going to like it. And it wasn't that I was afraid of not being elected pastor. I was afraid they might hurt me. I'm serious. Those people look real sad and bad out there. So I walked out asking the Lord to give me something else. He didn't give me nothing else. Every thought that come to my mind was that scripture. And I said, folks, I just got to obey God tonight. I just got to obey God tonight. And the message he said to bring is, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware of not being authentic. Beware of putting on a front. Beware of putting forth something that isn't true, because our God is a God of truth. And the Bible said there's nothing hid from the eyes of him of whom we have to do. After I felt the anointing, I thought, this probably isn't going to go over well, but it is God. it is true. And if it's received, it can make a difference and a change in this church and any person in this room, amen, that's just playing church and playing games with God, amen. And I preached it to the end, and I preached it with love, and at the end of the service, not one person came forward. No one repented. No one wept. No one did anything but stare me down. And I thought, it's okay that I'm not elected pastor of this church. And now I see why that guy is leaving. And I went out to the car quick as I could with my $3 offering. They won't pay you to preach like that, I'm going to tell you right now. Hurried to my car before they took that away from me. Can you say, man? Sat down in the front seat of my car, and the pastor come running after me. And he said, preacher, he said, you know, and I know, that I did not talk to you about the problems in this church. I said, yes, sir, that's true. He said, what God gave you, and I began to take courage to know that God was speaking to me. Can you say, man, I wasn't just trying out to see if I could be a preacher. I was a called and anointed preacher. Can you say, man, and it wasn't when people embraced me, it's because God sent me. Hallelujah. And I said, he said, sir, he said, you know that. We have not discussed anything. I've not divulged anything to you. But he said, tonight, God showed you exactly what is wrong in this church and gave you the message for this church. And he said, nobody in this church is going to believe that, but you and I and God know it's the truth. They think that I have called you, told you all that was going on, and you've come here to preach what you preach. And I know that isn't true. And I said, brother, I know it isn't true because I don't know you and I don't know them, but I know him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I do know him. That's my claim. I do know him. And one thing I know about him, he'll commend you for what's commending you. He'll correct what needs correcting. He will never sugarcoat it. Amen. Seven churches in Asia got seven distinctly different messages. Can you say amen? And what was wrong, God put his finger on it in every last one of them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's a God of truth. And when we continue in his word, when we want his word, embrace his word, receive his word, obey his word, the truth will make us all free. Can you say amen? And one of the things that will set us free from is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. It's a Greek word that comes in the Latin. It simply means a play actor, someone who gets on a stage and acts out a character that isn't truly them. God calls for absolute honesty and authenticity. He's a God of truth. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Oh, the story isn't over yet. I was learning. I went to the school of hard knocks. And I'm still in it. Hallelujah. So I got home. It's 10 o'clock at night. I'm getting ready to go to bed because I got to work at Tampa Electric the next day. I want to get in bed, get up, and make that day. But I preached, delivered God's message. I'm feeling better now. The pastor confirmed it was God. And I thought, Lord, I obeyed you. I obeyed you. Thank you, Lord. Whatever they do with it now between you and them. And my phone rang. How in the world this woman got my unlisted number, I do not know. But a woman that was in that meeting, they'll find a way if they really want to get you. She got my number. She called me up. And she said, pastor, preacher, you preached at our church tonight, and I was in the audience. I said, you were? I said, well, what is it? What's wrong? She said, he told you, didn't he? I said, who are you talking about, he told you? She said, the pastor told you, or somebody in the church told you. I said, no, nobody told me anything. She said, they must have told you. They must have told you. She said, I want you to know I have been dating this man. And I want you to know that I'm not divorced yet. I said, ma'am, what are you talking about? She said, I know he told you. I know he told you. She said, but let me explain. I love the Lord. But me and this man, we're in love. And I filed for divorce from my husband. And this man has filed for divorce from his wife. And we're in love. And I know that you were preaching to me. And I said, ma'am, as God is my witness, nobody told me anything. And I don't even know who you are. Click. Uh-oh. I told on myself and I didn't even have to. But you know, I wasn't completely honest after I thought about that. Somebody did tell me. Didn't tell me about her and what was going on. Just told me there's a whole lot of hypocrites in this church. And I want to straighten this thing out and send a true revival here if they'll just get right with me. Somebody did tell me. Can you say amen? I'll close with this. They want to get people in church. We get desperate sometimes. I had a guy one time stand up. My wife was in the audience at the Holy Church of God. We had about 100 people. And they were trying to get some people to come in. We used to have about 150 and had to use the balcony. I prayed every day it wouldn't fall under the weight. Termites were holding it up by holding hands with one another. Anyway, God blessed us to get through all of that. And nobody got hurt. Anyway, God was good. Now it's still an old church that needs a lot of TLC. But I remember that morning, without even consulting me, thinking that I would do what some people do in desperation to get people in Sunday school, this guy walks to the microphone, and I love him and love him to this day, but he walked to the microphone, and he said, if we get 100 people in Sunday school next Sunday, Brother Venable, we'll preach the gospel from the roof. I'll climb a ladder, stand on the roof, and preach while people are looking at me around the church building. And my wife hollered out, no, he won't! And I hollered out, no, I won't! And it wasn't because she was concerned that I would fall off the roof. It's because she knew me. And she said, that ain't my husband. If he has to resort to gimmicks, he'd rather shut it down and walk away than to use a gimmick to get people who say they love Jesus to come to church and worship him and serve him. Can you say amen? I won't do it. You say, I can tell, Brother Venable. Well, that's okay, because I want to see a real revival. I do not want to see just more heads in a building. I want to see hearts committed to Jesus Christ. And I believe more people are going to be here in the future. I believe that because I believe the God of the impossible, hallelujah, can make things possible. I believe a day is coming, and there's some other preachers that are concurring. There's something going on out there. Amen. The dead church cannot possibly meet the needs of hurting people. No matter how beautiful it is, no matter what kind of ties it may have to revival and Pentecost in days gone by, but that highly educated preacher, that beautiful building, stained glass and steeple, and that perfectly singing, conducted choir, listen to me, with all of those activities, if you have need of a miracle. Amen. You can't get it from a religious presentation. No matter how well it's presented, we need the living God. Can you say amen? And we need people, hallelujah, that know the power of godliness so that we do not limit him. And where truth is preached, we need some people that'll amen it, not with their just with their mouth, but with their tithe and with their time. Hallelujah. People that'll get behind truth and support it. If this building filled up with people committed to support the truth, God would heal, God would deliver, God will set free, God will save. Hallelujah. And he's doing it already in those that will let him. We got a reputation for serving a living God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I made up my mind, I'm going to preach what you give me, Lord, on Sunday. And I'm not ever going to hold back, because your truth is more important than the handshake, the more money in the treasury. And if I declare it, you're going to take care of me. And I'm going to tell you, the God that raised me up from what I was going through, if you ever get down where I was, amen, in the middle of the floor, no clothes on, it's pretty pretty bad for somebody been strong on their life to be laying down there and can't even help the paramedics help me up. I pumped that iron for a long time. I wasn't used to somebody telling somebody, can you help us up? Help us help you up. And I said, sir, I'd love to, but I can't. Talking out the corner of a mouth that is drawn all over to the side, but feeling the sweet presence of Jesus. And I thought, I'm so glad that I don't play church. I'm so glad that I'm not satisfied to just go sit in the pew and be entertained on Sunday morning. I'm glad that when I cry unto Him, I can expect an answer from Him. I'm glad He is truly in control. I'm glad to be a servant of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Though all men forsake me, I've got one who said, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. Nobody in this room can do that for me. In fact, can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. My wife had to go home and take care of things. And I'm laying in the hospital, me and Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus is enough. I can't go through that dark valley with you, but Jesus can. And He will. Praise God. Listen to me carefully. I've seen so much, experienced so much. I don't believe a lot of things that I hear. I am suspect. And Brother Taylor, I just can't help it. I know what I know. That you can't take anyone or anything at face value. You have to wait and see. Time will tell. God sent me here, Brother Venable. Then stay until He sends you somewhere else. Because He's not going to send you here and here and here and here and here. He's not going to do that. I told you about the guy that they found on a desert island, I think, last week. Big cargo ship passing by, uncharted island out there in the middle of nowhere. I said, where's that on the map? It ain't on the map. But there's three huts on it. They send a stop and anchor and send a little boat so they don't run aground to see what's going on. There's a man on there waving at them. They go to rescue him. Pastors really love this. Amen. They say to him, sir, how long have you been here? He said, I quit counting. I've lived off of seagulls and whatever I could catch. I'd take their guts and catch fish with their guts and cook them up when one of them would get so tired flying, he'd have to light here and I'd club him. He said, I've been living off of seafood and rainwater. He said, well, where you been living? He said, that hut right there. He said, but there's three huts. Is there anybody else here with you? He said, no, that other hut is where I go to church. He said, but what about that other hut then? He said, oh, that's where I used to go to church. We're like people in a cafeteria. Sampling this and that and getting us a plate full of what we like and walking by all that other stuff. You know, if you give your kids a plate, what they'll do? They'll walk by the prime rib. I don't mean this kid right here. He ain't walking by no prime rib. Amen. And he's not a kid anymore anyway. But when he was six, seven years old, give him a plate and turn him loose in the cafeteria and said, get whatever you want, darling. He going to walk right by the prime rib, catfish, fried catfish. He's going to walk by the catfish. He's going to walk straight by the green beans. He's going to forget them little red potatoes. Can you say, man, he's going to walk by the pork chops and the stuffy. He's going to get right by the carrots and the peas. And he's going to head for the ice cream, nanner pudding, and chocolate brownies. Am I right? He's going to head for the ice. If he can have anything he wants, and he gets to make the choice, and he's going to go after what? He's going to go straight for the sweets. Is he going to get sick if he keeps eating that? Yes, his immune system is going to come down. He's going to catch every cold. He's going to get weak. He's going to, but his belly's going to be full of sugar. He's going to be hyper and look like he's healthy. He's going to be like the Tasmanian devil when you get him out of bed on Saturday morning. Can you say, man? But when it, yeah, clog him up too, won't it? It'll clog him up real bad. Them brownie after brownie after brownie. But that's what he's going to eat, because that's the choice until he grows up and understands something about health and nutrition. But when he grows up, he's going to be wanting, you give me something, something that'll give me something to go on and something to grow on, something to give me an immune system that when I walk into a place and everybody's hacking and coughing, I can say it's going to jump on me, but it's going to have to jump right back off. Can you say amen? Oh, yeah, them germs are going to jump on you all day. You're going, if you have to open a door to a department store, remember just what you did. You just touched where 500 hands have just touched. And Lord only knows where they've been. Every bathroom I go in says employees must wash their hands. And I thought, yeah, who's in here to watch them? Amen. Praise God. You know what I want spiritually, Brother Taylor? I demand somebody bring me something that is for my inner man, my spiritual man, that I might grow strong in the Lord. Don't you give me dessert every Sunday. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Don't you dare. I want to hear the truth, because I need God in my life and I need his help when I need his help. And the only way that I can hope for revival is that there's enough people will gather together and say, God, I want your truth. I want your truth. And I want somebody to tell me that. I want it spoke in love. I want to be loved, but I don't want the truth to fall in the street. And I don't care as long as I'm being spiritually entertained. I want the truth. So here we are where we are. And God's truth is coming. My wife and I pray on Sunday morning. We say, Lord, let us put our best foot forward for you. Forward for you. And you that are here, the core that support, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Because it's not just because so many people come in and support. It's because the gospel goes forth from here. And I'm convinced it's going somewhere to somebody that's going to take it to heart and put it into practice in their life. The day of the focus on an evangelist or on someone in a congregation who wants to convince us of their spirituality, that day is over. The most unspiritual thing that you can do in this service is bring attention to you when the focus is supposed to be on Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you amen that that's pride? Don't cover it up with a false pretense of spirituality. And there are Pentecostals, if they don't get to do that, they won't go to church there. They're looking for somewhere where there's no one in charge, no one in control, and they can draw that attention to themselves. We're not that kind of Pentecostal church. Because only Jesus can save you. Only the Lord can raise you up if you're sick. And only the Lord can satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. Hallelujah. 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 And I don't want to be sarcastic, Brother Taylor, when someone says, I appreciate you. I need the encouragement. I need to hear those words. And I need to see those actions, not just the words. So, I'm committed. And I believe you are. You wouldn't be here this morning. Because there's more prestigious churches and more programs and more entertainment for you. And they'll be glad to have you. Whether you're saved or not. Whether you're going to heaven or not. Whether you can get a prayer through or not. They'll be happy to have your body and your contribution. And I promise you, they will not rock the boat. Are not there more honorable rivers in Assyria? Why, Jordan? Can't I go dip where I choose and maintain some of my dignity and pride? Can't I go where I want to go? Do I have to go down there? Do I have to go down to that little church down there to get prayer? Do I have to do that, Lord? Can't you just work a miracle while I sit out here in my three-piece suit and my Rolex? In the hour, you got a whole hour, Lord, to heal me and bless me. You got a whole hour. Surely you can bring it through, and I won't have to drive my car up to some little old church. I'll tell you when someone's going to show up here. And they're going to show up in other churches, little or big, wherever God's moving. It's when they finally figure it out that a form of godliness without the power is not the real thing, and he can't help them anymore. And dead religion can't take the place of a relationship with a living God. Can you say amen? And this defeat and depression and anxiety and terrible testimony of a God who never listens, doesn't care, and doesn't help anyone anymore. That attitude is going to go. My aunt called while I was in the hospital. My wife's aunt, Aunt Janelle, she called me. She said, "We love you. We got a prayer box at our church, and we tell people what the need is, and we put the need in the prayer box, and the whole church prays for it." She said, "And I put your name in that prayer box and told them that I've got a relative in Tampa who is a preacher of the gospel who's had a stroke, and we need to touch God for him." And they put it in the box. The box is full of requests. Amen. And when she got the report of what the Lord had done for me, and so many people had prayed, and they had prayed up there in Alabama, praise God, amen. And she said, "I stood up before the congregation and said, you know, the prayer that we prayed for my relative is a preacher of the gospel. God has raised him up. He has no symptoms. He has no residue. He preached. He came out of the hospital after 3 days on his own power and preached in his own pulpit the next Sunday." Amen. Said that whole church came alive. That whole church stood on their feet and glorified God. Can you say amen? Why, Brother Venable? Because a prayer was really answered. Amen. It wasn't just put in the box, say a few prayers over, and nothing occur. God showed up, and God showed out. Amen. And everyone in that building had hope in their heart. Can you say, amen, that a living God was still on the throne, that the name of Jesus still has power? Hallelujah. And that prayer still touches God, and God still moves when we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! I'm not satisfied with anything less. How about you? Woo! Glory to God. So the enemy can back off, because I'm not going to. Praise God, I've come too far. God's done too much. God is going to do something here, and God's going to do something with me and my family. I feel it coming as sure as I'm standing here today. Praise God. The phony stuff will all fall. I feel like shaking it all off today. All of those years and all of those tears. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somewhere along the line, something real is going to happen. Something genuine is going to occur. Somebody is going to follow Jesus and not turn back. Hallelujah. Praise God. And somebody's going to follow me as I follow Christ, Brother Taylor. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody is going to do that.
Hallelujah. 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 I saw a dozen people yesterday gathered around a bed hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Walked away from that hospital. I said, Lord, oh, that this entire family would come to know you. Oh, that they would come and hear the word of God. Oh, that they would come and heed it. Oh, that these grandchildren would be saved here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Shila makoro shala masitia. Keshana mana. Nenda da basataya. Kolobo hasanda da basataya. Mikoro yela kosanda da bata. Hallelujah. 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 God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask through Jesus Christ. God is able. I want you to say that with me today in closing. God is able. Hallelujah. 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 God is able to encourage my heart by letting me see fruit from our labors. Can you say, man, God is able? I can't make people change, but God is able. God is able to send us people that sincerely want to commit their life to Christ. God is able to do that. Can you say, man? Shandadaba roshalama kitiandadaba. Yelaba roshandadabaka. Selabakitia. Ondadaba rabaha sandaya. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And since the enemy has fought so very hard recently, I'm expecting something big to occur. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Sheila Bakusandada Masataya. And if we don't praise him, God is so able. God is so able. Jesus said, if these don't praise me, God is able. Say it with me. God is able. He said he's able to make them rocks cry out and praise him. Can you say, man, but God's going to have a praise and worship. Hallelujah. Whether people do it or the rocks do it. And he said, not only that, but the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Hallelujah. God is able. God's going to have some worship up in here. Hallelujah. And I used to love that quartet song, before the rocks cry out, I just got to praise him. Can you say amen? Will you stand to your feet today? Glory to the Lord. Stay with us a little while longer. And let's give God a chance to show us what he's able to do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Selabakitianda da basataya. Gloria anda da mahosa. Selabakitia ole. Lala bahositi anda da ba kesala. Selabaranda da basataya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shekonomo hosa selamanite. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Halaba koronda da basiti anda da basatai. Helaba kosonda da bamba roshe la marki. Onde araba siti anda. Kelaba hosata. That is done will not be undone. That seed that has been sown has been watered and it is growing to this day, saith God. All over this city, there are those who have been touched because of the faithfulness of my servant. And yea, saith God, I will continue to bless and I will continue to use and I will continue to bring fruit, saith the Spirit of God. They're not all in this building, friend, but they're all over this town. Can you say amen? We have a
reputation. We have a legacy, Sister Venable. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's done. The people that are saved, it will not be undone. Glory to God. This is eternal seed. This is eternal stuff. Can you say amen? Let's give him praise today. He's able. He's able. He's able.